Welcome to Mindful Mommies Now, the lactation series, part 6, day 3 of being a parent. I'm your host, Elizabeth Cashin. I'm an RN and an IBCLC. Thanks for joining me today. So I'm thinking that you might have listened to the previous episode, which was about day 2 in your baby's life. And today, day 3, will set the scene. You have had a healthy, uneventful delivery of your baby at 38 weeks, maybe a little bit later. So I'm going to go ahead and continue to use the pronouns her and she to refer to your baby, make things a little easier. So also as a review of day 2, it should have been a day of frequent feeding cues and feedings, active feedings, and you and your baby kind of learning about each other, finding out what's easier for both you and her, one position on one side and maybe another position on the other side, and increasing numbers of baby's bowel movements that continue to be black and tarry, also called meconium stools, and at least 2 wet diapers on day 2. So those are the things that we'd expect to have happen in an ideal situation. So those frequent feedings, those should have led to, you know, maybe better knowledge on the baby's end and hopefully more confidence for you. If your nipples are feeling a little bit tender after the frequent feedings, we want to just make sure that the latch that you're getting is achieved fairly quickly after a handful of attempts. That's pretty normal, but that you're not experiencing painful feedings. You know, if it's a bit of a pinch to get started, even that should start to go away as the baby gets used to being more wide open and you bringing her to the breast. So essentially, frequent feedings should not mean your nipples are now sore. If they are very sore, then we need to make sure we find out why. So again, don't hesitate to have someone watch you, help you make sure the baby is latching on well so that you don't go down the path of having nipples that are getting more sore. So frequent feedings, more stools, more wet diapers. So when you get to day 3, we're going to hope that the baby continues to be active and interested in feeding and doing a good job of it as your milk volume is increasing. So day 3, we want to know that your breasts are feeling a little bit fuller, maybe a little bit heavier, but the baby is doing a good job at staying on top of that increasing volume so that you don't get too firm, too full on day 3. So one of the things that I wanted to mention to you to help you during this period, making sure that the baby has a comfortable latch and that you can ensure that the baby transfers as much milk as possible from you, would be for you to continue to support the weight of your breast with your hand from underneath with your fingers, your thumb being up and above so that you on your breast so that you can use your thumb to gently move milk toward the baby. So as you're doing this, you can gently massage some areas that need to release the milk that's beginning to increase, and baby can transfer better, more swallows, and then that's going to lead to you having a more active feeding, more voids and stools from the baby. That's called breast compression, holding the weight of your breast with your fingers from underneath and using your thumb, moving milk toward the baby. So the better way to like stay comfortable as your milk's increasing is to be able to really effectively move milk out of you. So keep that in mind in the first week or few weeks, that holding your breast and moving milk towards the baby to get a good feeding in is going to be helpful for both of you. So I just wanted to mention too, day 3 is when approximately 80% of new parents will notice that breast fullness is occurring. It may even be firmness. So the things that I'm just suggesting to you are to be proactive in preventing your breasts from getting overly full as you move through day 3 and day 4. So keep in mind frequent feedings, frequent milk removal. Use your own hands to help that happen. Also, not unusual for a baby to have an easier time feeding on one breast versus the other. Lots of reasons for that. A lot of moms will notice if they are right-handed, it tends to be easier to move the baby and latch on the left breast. That's just a matter of handedness and what you're comfortable with. It might mean that if baby is latching well in a cross cradle position, laid back or just across your chest on the left side, it might make it a bit easier if you move the baby into a football hold on your right side, so you're still using your dominant hand to move the baby. And then a lot of babies don't even really notice that they've moved from left to right. Also wanted to mention at this point that it's very normal and expected for a baby to have a full feeding experience, do a good job, you know, on one breast and then not need to nurse on the other side. There's not a rule that baby has to nurse on both breasts, especially in the first week or weeks. So the baby should breastfeed on first breast until the baby has done everything that she can do on that breast. And you felt in these first days crampy in your uterus, sleepy, thirsty, and you've heard some swallows as you're moving into day 2 and 3 because you have more milk in your breast. So that baby does the best job on that breast. And then the next time the baby feeds, which isn't going to be that long, the baby would do the other breast. So you're really wanting to take care of each of your breasts as individuals, and you want a baby that is really good at doing it very often and doing it thoroughly. So it's a very old-fashioned thing to recommend that a baby do equal minutes on each breast, stopping a baby to equal out both breasts. Doesn't work very well. It's not something that I ever taught anyone during my time working with moms, which has been quite a while, but it's something that I think was taught a long time ago, and it's hard to not still hear that. But your breasts don't know there's a clock up there, and they don't know that there's minutes that should be equal. So use your hand to kind of guide you to know that this breast needs some attention, feels a little bit fuller, or that you want to use your hand to gently massage areas of your breast to move milk towards your baby during a given feeding. Also, as you're moving into day 3 and day 4, breasts take some time to learn what the demand is for one baby. In fact, you have two breasts, and breasts will make enough milk for two babies in the beginning until the breasts learn that there's just one baby. So breasts have to adjust. And so as that's happening, this is when many women will use their Haka, the passive collection system that I mentioned in a previous podcast, which I know most people have heard of these days. Very helpful. So say your baby is nursing on your left breast, you can attach the Haka to the other breast, especially in these first weeks as the breasts are learning what the needs are for your baby. You can collect the milk on that opposite breast so that it doesn't get too full and uncomfortable. It also doesn't leak down your chest, down your shirt. And you can avoid having areas that might get a little bit too full and uncomfortable. So using the Haka might be helpful. If you don't have a Haka, you might find that even in the first couple of days, if your breasts are very full, if the Haka didn't soften things up, you might need to use a breast pump, an electric pump, to move some milk to make your breasts softer a little bit so that the baby can latch well and move milk well. So don't hesitate basically to get milk from your breasts. If your baby is not peeing and pooping the way the hospital told you or the birth center told you, and that would be at least one wet diaper per day of age right now.
So on day three, at least three wet diapers on this day. And then this is going to be the last day that you should see the meconium or black tarry stools. So they should start to be less and less thick and maybe more green compared to black through the end of day three. And that change in the stool color and consistency tells you that the baby has been getting enough to eat. And really, the peeing and pooping is going to be telling you the most about whether baby's getting enough to eat over the next days and weeks, too. Okay, so day three is really focused on you making sure that you have a baby that is eating very well, very frequently. Doesn't have to be both breasts, but does have to be one breast vigorously and well enough to just, you know, completely pass out. And that's going to still average maybe around 20 minutes. Don't let it throw you if some feedings are shorter or longer. They may be back to back to back to back. And then you might get a couple hours where the baby isn't nursing. But on day three, if you're approaching like it's been 2.5 hours or three since the start of a previous feeding, please wake your baby up and get your baby back to breastfeeding, because your breasts need the baby in action, and your baby needs to pee and poop and stay awake and feed that often. One thing to just keep in mind: babies that seem to be sleepy, they're not telling you they want to eat as often, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't still eat. If they're not waking up to eat, you have to wake them up at this age. So keep that in mind, please. Okay, so day three, continue to have your baby skin to skin. Use your haka or your pump as needed to get milk from you and into your baby. So you're at that point now where you've got to take care of your breasts and always feed your baby. Always feed the baby, always take care of your breasts. And you want to have a resource to call if this isn't happening. It might be the hospital or the birthing center. Check with an IBCLC to make sure things are on the right track. But if you have a baby that wants to still eat frequently and is peeing and pooping the way that I've described, you're on the right track. So I think that's where we're going to stop for right now. And I will see you for another podcast. Thank you for joining me for Mindful Mommies Now, the Lactation Series, Day 3. I'm Elizabeth Cashin. See you next time. Bye.